Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Well, good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am Randy Fine, your show host. Should you be unfortunate enough to find out that you had cancer, what if you could start your journey with a sense of calm, peace, and hope before you even start your treatment? Well, that is possible because today we are going to talk about the only programming specifically designed for cancer patients and their caregivers. And we're going to talk about that with creators, husband and wife team, Tamara Green and David Dashinger, who are going to share information about their Loving Meditations program, and that's the name of the program. David is a Grammy-nominated composer, firefighter, and stage 4 head, neck, and lymphatic cancer survivor. Tamara is a licensed clinical social worker who has been dubbed the soul-centered love and relationship expert. Today, together they have created Loving Meditations, a program that dynamically helps people living with cancer and their care partners. Loving Meditations is the only research-backed meditation app designed to improve cancer patient outcomes, reduce the symptoms associated with cancer treatment, and help alleviate caregiver burnout. I just think this is so wonderful, and I'm very, very excited to bring Tamara and David to you. So let's get started. Good morning, Tamara. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, Randy. Great to be with you this morning.
Doing great this morning.
Yes, thank you, thank you. It's so good to have both of you. So, David, you have survived cancer. Can you tell us a little bit about what you went through?
I was, prior to the time that cancer entered my life, I was a healthy, very active person who, I was kind of the poster child for the guy who eats right, the guy who works out, the guy who, you know, looks really good because he's healthy. So imagine the shock when I went to get a haircut one day and my barber noticed a huge lump on my neck, which turned out to be the signs of stage 4 cancer in my lymph system. And so everything at that moment kind of changed. My identity went from the healthy guy to I'm the guy who has cancer. And so it was a radical shift in a couple of ways, because prior to that I was also the caregiver as an emergency responder, go out on calls to help people in their worst moments, either medical or fire related emergencies. And so now I was becoming the person who was in need of the care, and took a little bit of a shift to really get my mind wrapped around that concept. But I did choose to look at it as, you know, what's the gift in this situation? Because although it's easy to feel like a victim, it's easy to feel like, you know, your life is now in the control of this disease and in the control of the medical professionals, you know, I didn't want to feel powerless. I wanted to feel like I did have an active role in this journey, and that the journey was going to have some positive significance in my life, not just a, you know, not just a really tough chapter. So all these kind of led to me looking for ways to go through it with more ease, and to you know, to actually to help my body as much as I could while it was handling all the treatment and the treatment side effects.
That must have been so difficult to make that adjustment, and to go from being, you know, the one, like you say, the one who is helping others to the one being helped. It's hard to be that vulnerable when you're not used to it. And Tamara, so what was your part in this?
Well, about 4 days prior to David's diagnosis, our son was diagnosed with Lyme disease.
Oh my gosh.
And so it was like, what a week that was. My head, I have to admit, in the beginning was spinning. How, our daughter was already off to college, out of the house, so how was I going to take care of my guys? How, you know, how am I going to do this when I'm already a very busy entrepreneur running a couple of businesses, and you know, are we going to make it through? Is David going to make it? Like, all, I just remember all the thoughts running through my head. But fortunately, I have had a very long time meditation practice. And so after a couple of days of running around like a chicken with my head cut off and trying to figure out what we were going to do and how I was going to manage it all, I did start to calm down. And like David, I you know, went into my usual practice of gratitude and looking for the gift, and it really did calm things down quite a bit.
Right. Right. You know, people always say, oh, I don't know how I would deal with it. But you, when you're forced to deal with something that is so traumatic like that and so overwhelming, you do have to find a way to be able to deal with it. And I always like to look for the gift in things, too, because to me, that's very, very helpful, because I believe, you know, and the longer that you live, the more that you understand that there truly is a gift in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is a great way to do it. So at what point did mindful meditations come to you? And so were you able to stop all your other, you know, entrepreneurial businesses and just focus on this one, or how did that come about?
Yeah, I think that's even a question for both of us, so I'll answer my half of that.
Okay.
Mindfulness came in, well, probably like right away. I mean, I even remember sitting there while poor David was going through these biopsies right in the doctor's office, and we were just there for hours and hours and waiting for the results. And I just remember even sitting there for hours in the office just doing mindful practices that really helped. For example, just looking at things on the wall that kind of caught my eye and then describing them to myself, and then moving on to the next item. And it was little things like that that just kept me in the present moment and not, you know, freaking out. So I would say it did start from the beginning, but there's, you know, when you're going through a shock like that, there is a transition, and I certainly had to go through a transition. So I just, you know, immediately went into gear in terms of, you know, I'm just not going to take on too many new clients right now. You know, I'm a psychotherapist. I'm a dating and relationship coach, hypnotherapist. I, you know, very busy all the time. So I just decided to kind of slow that down and start reaching out for help from our friends. We don't really have family close by, but start reaching out to for friends, you know, to see who could take my son to school and, you know, that sort of thing. And then I know David he's not just a firefighter. He has another business, but I'll let you tell him about that and how he dealt with it.
Sure. So just kind of want to stay on track with your question about mindfulness. I, in addition to my firefighter job, I do compose music, and we had been creating meditations for a kind of a general audience. And the connection to loving meditations did not come till the end of our cancer journey, and we'll get back to that in a minute. But as far as during the journey, like many people, I found myself with lots and lots of downtime and very stressful situations. That means sitting in the waiting room waiting for a scan or waiting for the doctor or waiting for the radiation treatment. Tons of downtime in the infusion center, sitting there for hours and hours hooked up to IV drips, being literally lashed down to the table in the radiation therapy room where, again, it's just you, you know. So I asked the question, what can I do to get through this with greater ease? I would do stuff like during the radiation treatments, literally visualize the radiation as being a beneficial, you know, energetic beam that was going to be zapping cancer cells. In the infusion center, I brought my iPad and some earbuds and would put on either soothing music or meditative guided meditations, or in my downtime between treatments, I would listen to very helpful affirmations and things, audio programs that were, you know, geared towards positive reinforcement of the body and the miracles that the body is capable of performing. So tried to keep that in the mix all throughout because, again, just, you know, to me it was the opportunity to hit the reset switch. Kind of you hit the bottom of the muck, and, you know, where do we go from here? How do we do things differently that can to make it better?
So how long was your healing process until you finally, I would assume that you got cleared or that you're in remission?
Yes. Treatment started like probably November, Thanksgiving time, and the final phase was surgery, which was in March of the following year. So it was about a five-month process. And from that point until today, you know, I've been clear, which is, you know, we're obviously thrilled about. And, you know, I do give some credit to our practice of gratitude and mindfulness to, if nothing else, to make it an easier, less stressful, and less, you know, kind of impactful experience.
Right. Absolutely. So how long has it been? Because I don't know the year that you went through that.
Yeah, we're in 2.5 years out from that.
Okay. Well, congratulations. It's wonderful. Yes? Hi.
I would like to add, too, that, you know, it's a pretty grueling treatment, as I'm, you know, it is for most people with cancer. But my husband and we strongly believe that it is because of the mindfulness practice that he used throughout the treatment. He actually, you know, did really well compared to most people that have to go through the same treatment. You know, he never needed to be hospitalized, never needed a feeding tube, never needed a pick, you know, all these things that most people going through this exact same treatment have to have. So it was powerful. It really made a difference.
I believe that. I truly do. And that's why I really believe in what you're doing here. So can you tell us, you know, what loving meditations is?
Go ahead.
The little story behind it was, as I said, we've been creating meditations for a general audience. So we had that sort of skill and that technique down. And we had gone through the caregiver-patient experience throughout that cancer journey. And we went for a follow-up visit with my oncologist, and like the minute he walked in the room, the light bulb went off. Well, we know what it's like to be on that side of it. We know how to create meditations. What if we put it together and created meditations for cancer patients and caregivers and survivors. This oncologist loved it when we mentioned it to him because he's seeing people who are coming in really stressed out, and something like that would be a benefit to him because they would be able to get a little more calm and centered just in the waiting room or just waiting for his, when he comes around to see them in rounds.
So what? So the loving meditations is just that, and I know you're a composer, so they're loving meditations put to music. Are they guided meditations, or can you explain a little bit about them?
Sure. So it is my voice. I am guiding the meditation, and then it's David's stunning music, really, just off the charts, beautiful music. And then he's also a master with video, because some people are very visual, so you can certainly watch the videos with your eyes closed, you still get the same benefit, or you can watch it. And the imagery is stunning nature images, because studies show that it brings calm to the mind and body when you're watching nature, or it's really, nice little floaty graphic things, but just really, really pretty, really beautiful. So all of it combined is a pretty powerful effect in terms of bringing peace and calm and serenity and tranquility. It's very powerful.
And I'm wondering, so the doctor thought that it would be great to integrate this into his practice. So how would he do that? Would he have it playing in the waiting room, or would he have headphones for people to put on, or what was his thought process with how to use this?
It's kind of all of the above. We talked to quite a few healthcare professionals and also people who are the users, the patients, and universally there's quite a few waiting rooms with loud kind of chatty TV news programs or talk shows, and the last thing that we as patients and caregivers want to do is sit in a noisy, stressful waiting room waiting to get a scan or waiting to see the doctor and find out, the latest blood test results. So we created a waiting room television, which is somewhat similar to our meditations, but there's no voice. So it's these are one-hour loops of calming nature images, which have occasional kind of like mindful Snapple facts, if you will, positive affirmations, interesting facts about the human body, quotes, inspiring quotes. So there's that piece. And then the other part, the way the meditations are delivered is on a personal device like a tablet or a smartphone through our app or through our web app. And that's something where people literally just bring their device in to wherever they are, in the waiting room, the treatment center, to their home, and they can experience the loving meditations right there on their personal device.
This is such a wonderful thing. I just think you guys are great. So now you say that this is research based. So what exactly did you research, and what is sort of factual about this?
Well, just a disclaimer: we didn't do this research. This is research that we have picked up that supports what we're saying.
Okay.
And they're coming from very reputable places. A couple of interesting ones. American Journal of Managed Care, they had an estimate that the average for a person seeking medical care is about 121 minutes each time, and that includes travel time, and about 87 minutes in the doctor's office or clinic. So out of that, they usually only spend about 20 minutes with a doctor. So kind of do the math, and there's quite a bit of downtime waiting for care. So that's comes into play with all that downtime. Sometimes with a noisy TV, like, the mind can really start to get overly active, and we'd like to take advantage of that and do something much more calming with that time. There's been many studies about qualities like anxiety, problem sleeping, that have been documented. Another example, This was American Journal of Medicine. 100% of insomnia patients reported improved sleep, and 91% either eliminated or reduced sleeping medication use by incorporating meditation.
There's also significant studies with using mindfulness-based stress reduction technique and, with cancer patients. And one of them was done in back in 2012. It was almost 230 women, and half, they were all getting chemotherapy and radiation for their breast cancer, and half the women had the mindfulness meditation every day, and the other half didn't. And it was clear, the researchers found, that the women who had the mindfulness meditation felt better emotionally and physically, and they had fewer hormone-related symptoms than the women who did not. So the study actually gave evidence that it really does reduce the long-term emotional and physical effects of the treatment, including the hormone treatments afterwards. So they were actually recommending it for this one specifically for women going through breast cancer treatment.
So how many meditations are on this app?
We're adding to them on a weekly basis. I actually lost count. I think we have about 20, ranging from 3 minutes to 15 minutes. We have a new series called Mindful Minute, which is basically just practical tips for caregivers and patients. Just things, quick, easy ways to get mindful in the spur of the moment. You could literally be doing it, in your car, or you could be doing it, sitting, waiting for the doctor. So it's a growing catalog of meditations. Every week, every month, we add new content.
And it does cover the range.
Go ahead.
It covers the range of meditations to help you with sleep, meditations to calm yourself or calm your anxiety, or to release fear, to listen to before or during chemotherapy or radiation. It's kind of these different categories. And when you go to the app, it's going to ask you, are you a caregiver or a patient? So there's specifically meditations for the caregivers. So they to help reduce burnout, that sort of thing. And those specifically for patients to help reduce, pain and discomfort, that sort of thing. So it kind of covers the gamut.
Yeah, so that's, you answered my question, because I was going to say, are there actual meditations for the caregivers as well? And I know that being a caregiver is very, very stressful. I don't know it personally. I know it because of family members and things like that. So for those who are listening, how do they go about getting this app?
The quickest, simplest way is to go to our website, lovingmeditations.com. There are easy links to access to connect you with the app, which is on the App Store, the Apple App Store, and also, as I said, we have a web app version. So those links are right on the website. If you're an App Store user and you like to go the direct route, just search Loving Meditations in the App Store, and it's a download. It's a free download for iPad and iPhone, and we do have a subscription if you want to access additional premium content.
Okay. Well, that's pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
That makes it easy for everybody. Is there a charge for it?
So with the free download, there's some content. Some is instructional or informational, and we have a few meditations. And then the annual subscription is $38.99.
Okay, that's affordable for anyone, right?
Right, and with that, you get any new content that we add to the catalog of meditations. So, like I said, it's a growing body of mindful programs, and we think each one is better than the one before. So,
yeah, that's kind of the way it goes. Even like when you're writing books or anything like that, each one seems to get better than the other ones, and then you feel like the other ones just don't measure up. But I'm sure these are all wonderful. So are both of you just doing this as your business now, or Tamara, are you back to doing what you used to do? And David, are you composing and those kind of things?
Well, like you, Randy, we like to do it all. You're a very busy lady. I can tell from your website.
Yes, thank you. Thank
no,
you.
For me, my love is, helping people transform to a place of happiness and bliss and love and all that. So, yeah, I still have a practice, a psychotherapy practice in Manhattan. And I still work with single women to help them navigate the waters of love till they get engaged or married. And that's done internationally on phone and Skype.
Very nice.
Yeah, but I've had this love for creating guided meditations for many years, and so even this morning I'm in yoga and I'm just flooded with ideas that the next meditation is going to be this, and so I'm always so inspired by ideas that kind of come through, and then I've got to create them. it bothers me until I get it kind of nags at me until I create them.
Well, of course, because this is coming from outside of you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know that my ideas and the things that I write about are all coming through me. They're not of me. So and generally when you when your mind is elsewhere, that's when when I have trouble writing, and I get up and take a shower. Oh my gosh, the things come flooding through, and I'm writing with wet paper and a pen, and it's like it's just amazing when you're just not thinking about it how these things come through. But that's very exciting.
By the way, that is my.
And you happen to marry a composer, so that makes it really, really perfect.
Yeah, and he's really hot, too. He's, like, really cute. I got the best of all worlds here.
Oh, my gosh. Good going. You go, girl.
Yeah, no, it's hard to imagine that, we were so, so close before this cancer experience and then after this cancer experience. I mean, it just took our relationship to a whole new level of deep emotional intimacy, and, the power of our love is very strong. And I think it probably comes through in these meditations as well. We're deeply moved when we're writing them, and it really does come through.
And David, I come from a family of musicians, and I know how music just gets in your blood. So I'm sure you're still composing, because I don't think you could ever step away from that.
True. You understand it's in your blood, right? So I do quite a bit of composing for our meditations, and to me, it's a labor of love, because I know that it's going to have a beneficial effect, and at least the intention is that it has a beneficial effect for people that are really in need of it. But I still write music for network television, and somehow that and the firefighting, it all comes together on some level. Like, I will meet somebody when I'm out there doing emergency services, who's a caregiver, and I'll hear their story, and somehow that's like inspiring for me to come back to Loving Meditations and give it a new, give us a new perspective on that, something we had never considered before. So all of this, it all just is a synergistic combination of the things that we do, that I do, that Tamara does, and obviously you do, that, we're all defying like a label, right? You can't label us as this person does this one thing. somehow it's all like a beautiful kind of mosaic of work that we do that all comes together.
Yeah, and if you would, 10 years ago or whatever, if you would have said, what will you be doing? You couldn't have imagined. It's just fall into these different aspects of who you are and what you want to do and how you want to share it. So life looks really good for you guys. Now, for people who have not meditated before, what would you tell them about your meditations?
We like to start with kind of just dispelling all the stereotypes, words like meditation, even mindfulness have, because they are just a word, and sometimes what these practices are transcends one word or one label. So meditation often, you know, creates that cliche image of someone sitting on top of a mountain with their legs crossed and their fingers, you know, touching and with a blissful smile on their face. And to us, that and mindfulness is really just, you know, thought comes, like let go of it, you know, observe it, but let it go, and to be present in the moment. Because the moment, this moment of now is all we have. You know, we're not living in yesterday or the 5 minutes prior to now. We obviously can't live in the future. So really it's about being present in the now and, you know, having the best possible experience right here, right now. Just an interesting fact that we came across that I'm not sure who did this and how they counted it, but excuse me, humans are believed to have an average of 70,000 thoughts a day. So, and out of those, almost 47% people are thinking about something other than what they're doing. So one of the things we're trying to do that, you know, mindfulness and meditation, I think the intention usually is to get people to be more present in the moment and, you know, not be thinking in the future or the past. So there's a long-winded way of, excuse me, of explaining that. We are really just trying to take people on a journey, you know, into the present, into being present with their bodies, being present with what's going on around them. And sometimes it's just a simple matter of breathing. Sometimes it's a simple matter of looking at something in the room that's interesting and getting curious about it. So, again, the labels sometimes don't do the actual practice justice.
I agree. I do agree. So your daughter has Lyme disease, and is she using these applications, to help her? And is it helping?
Yeah, it was actually our son. And thank goodness we caught it soon enough. So after about 3 months of antibiotic treatment, he actually was doing quite well. But at the time he was diagnosed, it was pretty scary, you know, symptoms like kind of meningitis-type headaches and rashes and stuff. So so there was a lot to deal with in the beginning, but he really came out sailing, he's doing fantastic. And, and our daughter, she's such a zen-like person. You know, she kept telling us, Dad's going to be fine. You know, Mark is our son's name. Mark's going to be fine. You know that, Mom. I'm like, yeah, I do know that. Thanks. You know, she was just so calm throughout the whole thing.
Oh, out of the mouths of babes. It's just, you know, there's just no way to predict what tomorrow is going to be. But tomorrow can look so very different than today.
Mm-hmm.
And if people can just hold on, you know, that's why they say take it just one day at a time, because each day is so very different, so very different. So is there anything that you want to share that maybe, you know, I haven't brought up or you haven't brought up?
You know, I don't think so.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I really don't. I just wanted to give you that opportunity. So I know that your website is lovingmeditations.com, and that's where you can get the apps and everything like that, right?
Oh, I guess I did. Thank you. I just thought of something. Yeah, we do write something every once in a while, you know, blogs, and so a great way to get a free meditation right away is just to sign up for our newsletter, and we offer a free meditation there. So we give, you know, information, tips, that sort of thing to help people get through the experience, or, you know, to even, just because you're in remission doesn't mean that you're still not dealing with some fear about, oh my goodness, am I going to get cancer again, or what if I have to be a caregiver again, you know, what if, she, you know, like, what if David gets cancer again, I'll have to go through that again. So that's another helpful thing that we do. I guess I'll add too that we run on a very regular basis. We run these kind of body tapping. It's almost like yoga, but it's body tapping, meridian stretching, meditation type workshops for hospitals and cancer support centers. And even, you know, like the other day we did one for the seniors in our town. And so if anyone would like us to come to their, you know, healthcare facility or their town, just let us know. We're really, you know, love being a contribution to people and communities.
Just to piggyback on what Tamara was saying, we're offering basically their tips for caregivers and people living with cancer to help them get through it with less stress and more calm. If you'd be interested in that, to sign up for that, and also you get a free mindfulness breathing meditation. Just go to lovingmeditations.com/free, and just need to sign up there, and you'll get 3 days of tips and the meditation for free.
Great. That's easy to remember, putting free on the end. I like that. I think that's very clever. So how many doctor's offices are you actually in with your video?
So we don't have an exact number. We're talking to numerous ones in the New York metropolitan area because although integrative medicine is being embraced wholeheartedly, sometimes it moves slower than everyone would like. So we have a lot of irons in the fire right now where we have very, very receptive doctors and nurses and integrative medicine staff who are just loving what we're doing, and so we're getting on board. It's taking, you know, it takes a while. It's moves slower than you know, just the general business procedure does.
Right. I mean, because it's not on the top of their list. I mean, we know running businesses that, you know, there's a million things that go on in the course of a day, and to get somebody's attention for something like this, even something so wonderful like this, it just takes some persistence, I know. But have traditional therapists, I mean traditional doctors, any of them been receptive to this?
Oh, absolutely. We literally speak to world-renowned hospitals, I mean top-shelf names that everyone knows for either just in general as hospitals or specifically their cancer treatment centers, and they all are on board with what we're doing in one shape or form, and pretty much all of them have these integrative medicine programs where patients now come in and they are recognizing the benefits of these alternative therapies like Reiki and healing touch and massage and acupuncture and that kind of thing. So this is, you know, just the timing couldn't be better.
Well, that's true. It's true. I try to go that route whenever I can, because traditional medicine has never addressed my issues. I always have weird things that it just are not. It's always, you know, it's been a lifetime of that. You know, I always say I'm not of this planet. I really don't think I am. I don't have fingerprints. I have green eyes. I'm not. And I never really felt very comfortable here, so I have to suspect that I'm not really from here.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh, but I love it. I love it. My son's in medical school. He's in osteopathic medical school, which is really great, too. So we've learned a lot from him as far as certain, you know, holistic things as well. Well, it's great. It's so great talking to you. So caregivers tend to get very exhausted, and they really have a hard time reaching out or finding where to reach out to get these kind of, you know, to get support and everything like that. So when you so I would imagine on your website that you speak to caregivers, you know, just as well as patients. I mean, I know you have meditations for them, but what could you tell caregivers? What's the best thing to tell them?
The number one thing I really want caregivers to do is to carve out time for themselves every single day. So even if it's, I prefer that it be 15 minutes, but even if it's only 5 minutes, make sure that that is the most sacred time of your day, that time to yourself. And or maybe go ahead and, you know, talk to a friend and a supportive friend, or take a bath, and make sure that nobody messes with that time that is yours and no one else's, for you to just turn off and unwind and just be kind of loving and nurturing to yourself. And of mm-hmm. course, you know, you could certainly do a meditation during that time. That would be fantastic. So that's just one of the many tips that I give for caregivers. But yes, you know, a lot of times caregivers actually get so exhausted they get just as sick, if not more sick, than the patient. So it's vitally important for them to take care of themselves, and then, you know, reach out for help. People are so wanting to help. They feel helpless. They want to do something. So go ahead and give them something to do. Hey, can you run to the store? I just didn't have a chance to go to the store and get something to eat for my kids. Or do you mind dropping my son off at school? Or do you mind picking him up? Or whatever. Just give people something to do, because they really want to do it. They want to be a contribution.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. It's hard to ask, but yeah, it is good to ask. You don't ask, you don't get. That's the way
yeah,
it is.
Exactly. You got to receive. Must receive. Mm-hmm.
So, well, gosh, it's been so great talking to you. And I just love this. And I hope to be able to share this with anybody unfortunate enough that I know who gets, you know, happens to get this diagnosis, which is so shocking and so life-changing. But I always like to have these kind of tools at my disposal to be able, you know, because I talk to a lot of people, to be able to share this information. And so I'm really happy to be able to share this today and be talking to you and letting people know. I know there's people out there that are just must be so excited to hear this. So thank you for the work that you do. I think it's awesome.
Thank you, Randy.
Thanks, Randy. Thanks for all your supporting the great work that you do too, spreading the word on all these great programs and people out there doing wonderful things. So we appreciate you as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much. That's really nice. So it has been great talking to you. I wish you a wonderful day. I wish you wellness and peace and all those kind of things in your life. I hope everything continues in the direction that it's going. And I just hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thanks, you too.
Okay. It's been great talking to you. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is always RandiGfine.com. So it's been great having you. Join me next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host, author, life issues counselor, and a number of other things. Randy Fine signing off. Until next time, may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RandiGfine.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.